Good morning. It's good to see you all here, and it's good to be here with you all this morning. Before we get into this, I want to make a couple of quick announcements. First of all, the next Sunday Bible class is going to be on the Gospel of Matthew. I've been asked that a few times, so I just want to go ahead and, while I have the captive audience, let you all know about it. So Matthew is going to be next for our Sunday morning Bible classes going forward. Secondly, ladies' Bible class. For those of you interested in learning your e-sword, I have something for you in the back. And with that out of the way, turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. That'll be where our study begins here in just a minute. Because within the scriptures, you may have seen the phrase that we're going to consider this morning. It is a phrase seen five times within the scriptures. Maybe you've read these verses before. You're certainly going to read them today. It is about Antichrist. Antichrist is a term that is used exclusively by John in his epistles. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, verse 22 in that same chapter. Also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And 2 John, verse 7. This is a term that is used to describe a certain type of person that is explained by John within his epistles. If you've read and heard this word before, you may very well have heard some of the various interpretations that have been made regarding what Antichrist is, as well as who Antichrist is. Now, the Greek word Antichristos is defined as either an opponent of the Messiah, that's Strong's translation of it, or the adversary of the Messiah, that's Thayer's translation of it. These definitions, almost the same, almost, key word there, almost. The different articles used completely change who we think we're talking about. In saying the adversary, it implies singularity. It implies that we're talking about some big, bad, evil guy. And that's how some interpreters choose to see this. Now, in saying an opponent, that implies plurality. That implies that there's more than one Antichrist. That is more accurate to the scriptures, as we'll see here in just a few minutes. What makes this interesting, as seen in the scriptures, is depending on the translation you use, the sermons you may hear, or the interpretations you may read or hear, you may get the wrong idea as to who or what Antichrist means, because between these, one constant is seen that ironically is not necessarily seen within the scriptures. Between these, you'll see the phrase Antichrist used with a capital A. This, combined with the interpretations made about the scripture and the associations made with Antichrist and other entities mentioned in the scripture, it presents the Antichrist, capital A, as a big, bad, evil guy that's going to come and wreak havoc. And with that, maybe even a demonic entity, a superpower of evil in the world. So let's talk about that today. Let's call into question today that idea. Let's consult the scriptures today about that idea and see what Antichrist is according to the scriptures, whether or not these various interpretations are true. And hopefully by the end of this, we can come to a better understanding of what Antichrist is. I want to start off, if you're in 1 John, look at chapter 2 and verse 18 with me here. Now I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Now this is my primary version that I like to use. But as you can see, that big A right there, the capital A for Antichrist here. Little children, John says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist, big bad evil guy, is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. as seen here, New King James Version, again, adds the before Antichrist, and also capitalizes Antichrist as if it were a name or a title for a singular entity. However, in the very same verse, Antichrist, plural, is seen in the latter half, in the original Greek. Both are seen. We see the singularity and the plurality. And these are accurate to the passage, with Antichristos being Antichrist, seen for the former, and Antichristoi, that's plural, for Antichrist, seen at the latter half of the verse. So the, in this passage, is added for clarity's sake, and it's a pretty accurate addition. But on the flip side, there's nothing in this passage to warrant the capitalization of Antichrist. How many of you, raise a hand real quick, if you do not have a New King James Version and do not have a capital A for that first Antichrist? Okay, about half of you, good. So usually, I say usually, because this is a translation situation that we're talking about here. Usually, the capitalization is important in identifying certain figures. It includes identifying the Godhead. It includes identifying maybe divine beings. You will always see the God, our God, the one true God, capital G. Meanwhile, false gods, they get the lowercase g. You will see Son of Man, capitalized with the S and the M, reference to Jesus. But take Ezekiel, for example, who was referred to as Son of Man, lowercase s, lowercase m. And how about the Holy Spirit? We see Holy Spirit, or Spirit of God, seen with a capital S, to be distinct from man's spirit, the spirit of man, and what that entails. However, due to translators' interpretations, they don't always get it right. For example, people always quote 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 to say that our personal spirit is not a spirit of fear. But in the proper context, we see that Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit. As in verse 6, it talks about gifts of the Spirit and such. All this to say that giving Antichrist that capital A makes him sound like some sort of big, bad, demonic entity, which some interpreters may try to defend. But the truth can plainly be seen in Scripture. So, as I mentioned earlier, Antichrist, mentioned 5 times in the Scripture. Here they are. We see, let's go ahead and read verses 18 through 23 of 1 John, if we're here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 23. Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Looking at this passage here, first 3 mentions of Antichrist all in one get-go. We see certain personalities or actions that make up the Antichrist, as seen in this passage and in the ones to follow. First, we see they went out from us, but were not of us. Not of us being the key element, one of the first key elements of the Antichrist, despite where they come from. In this case, they came from them. Other times, they're going to come from the world to them. But whether the case may be, they are not of us. They have an agenda that is against Christ, or it is in the place of Christ. As John says here, many antichrists went out from them. They proved not to be of them, though. they became known by their fruits, so to speak. Their fruits were not for Christ. They were against Christ. Secondly, we see that whoever denies Christ is deemed by John as both liar and antichrist. What makes a denier a liar? What makes a denier of Christ a liar? A denier is a liar because he's denying the truth. Jesus is a fact. Jesus has come. Jesus is a real person. Jesus was seen by real people. Jesus is really the Son of God. To deny Jesus is to become a liar, because that denial is made in opposition of the truth of Jesus. Just if a person today were to deny the existence of dogs, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But let's roll through with that. They deny the existence of dogs. They want to say dogs aren't real. Anybody here who has a dog can tell you the dog is real. And so either the denier can admit the truth, there's the dog, or they can double down. And that leads to lies, disregarding the plain and simple truth about the dog. Now, regarding the denial of Christ, many people choose to double down. Many people choose to go all the way opposite of Christ, denying what is simple, plain and simple fact. These people, according to John, are antichrist. They deny Christ. They are against Christ. They want to replace Christ with lies. Therefore, they are antichrist. So already in just the surrounding text, we have strong evidence that John is talking about more so of a kind of person rather than one big, bad, evil guy. At most, the antichrist refers to perhaps a specific person at this current period of time acting as enemy of the church at that time, or perhaps a specific ideology, which, if you know about 1 John, 1 John was written to combat Gnosticism, which is a big popular belief at the time, a belief that what denies Jesus. That's why John, from the get-go of this letter, and back in chapter 1, he talks about Jesus as that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Now, in chapter 4, we see verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that the Spirit of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Again, that's capitalized here. In my version, at least. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John warns in this passage, test the spirits, whether they are of God or not, because of the fact that there are false prophets in the world. People who in their spirits do not believe in Jesus and would rather conform to some other religion, some other ideology, some other belief, opposite of Christ. How does one know that a spirit is of God? John says that a spirit of God is one that does confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Anyone who is able to admit that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, their spirit is of God. Their spirit is godly. Their spirit is of godliness. The last few verses of the previous chapter discuss the idea of obeying the commandments of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit, capital S, whom he has given us. So which are we? Are you a spirit that confesses belief in Jesus, abides in God, and he in us by his Spirit? Or are you of a spirit that does not believe and is in denial of the Son of God? John makes it clear once again, every spirit that does not confess Jesus has an antichrist spirit. Let's be clear. Again, certain translations capitalize antichrist once again, giving the impression of this spirit, a singular entity, demonic evil guy. But that does not harmonize with the other ideas presented, both in this scripture and in the previous scripture and the one we'll consider in just a minute. First telltale is the italics of the word spirit, that being here in verse 3. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Spirit was added in, once again, for clarity's sake. And it makes sense given the current context. However, it gives the wrong impression when combined with that capitalized Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist, making it sound like one singular entity. But any spirit that denies Christ is an Antichrist spirit. John then says, you are of God, or from God, depending on your translation. And in the subsequent verse, they are of the world. They are from the world, depending on your translation. Any who are of God hear us, but any that are of the world do not hear us, thus giving the clear division between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, as he says at the end of the passage here. All this to say that those who deny Christ, they are of a worldly spirit, an antichrist spirit. There is no one particular overarching evil entity that can be called the Antichrist. Now, you may want to try to attribute that to Satan. However, that's a can of worms in and of itself. We'll talk about it in just a minute. First, consider 2 John. 2 John in verse 7. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This verse in a separate letter confirms everything we've seen so far. There are many deceivers. They do not confess Jesus. They are antichrist. So in considering what we've seen from John, we can get a full grasp of an antichrist. An antichrist is one who does not confess Christ, instead it denies Christ, and in denying Christ, make themselves to be liars, spirits of error and worldliness, and an enemy of Christ. And that can be anyone. That can be anyone that goes all the way with all that. Perhaps even just one of those things is enough to make someone an antichrist. I could become one if I wanted to, but I cannot deny my Lord. However, the world, interpreters, various denominations, they want to add their own interpretations as to whom the Antichrist, capital A, actually is, as if it was one particular person, a demonic entity, a big bad evil guy. And in fact, there are a few major passages of Scripture that I've seen nearly all resources use in conjunction with John's passage on the Antichrist. And even a sermon, not a Church of Christ sermon, mind you, but this sermon wanted to tie all these together as one singular entity. Within these passages, we see characters that, again, many resources treat all these as the same entity and declare these guys as the Antichrist, big bad evil guy. That being the false Christs seen in Matthew chapter 24. Also the abomination or desolation seen in that same chapter. The lawless one or the son of lawlessness seen in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And of course, the beast in Revelation 13. Looking into these verses, we're going to take some time with them. Just a little bit of time in each. While we're talking about them, I want you to be rolling this over in your mind. Roll this over in the back of your mind. Consider this question. If all these guys are meant to represent the Antichrist, the one singular entity, why is the word Antichrist not used for them? And remember, Antichrist doesn't refer to just one particular big, bad, evil guy, demonic entity. But anyone could be Antichrist if they oppose and deny Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 6. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." This and verse 24 of the same chapter talk about those coming in his name, saying that they are Christ, acting as false Christs and false prophets, according to verse 24. These terms, different from the Greek word antichristos, and the words are pseudo-christos and pseudo-prophetes. Pretty self-explanatory. Both of which can fall under the umbrella of Antichrist, but are given distinction here in this passage, perhaps as specific types of Antichrists, plural. But make no mistake, all false Christs and all false prophets are Antichrists, but not all Antichrists are false Christs and false prophets, if that makes sense. As far as the Antichrist, big bad evil guy, is concerned, interpreters associate him with the abomination of desolation seen in verse 15. But such association is not seen in Scripture. Again, Antichrist, in John's context, not a big, supreme, evil, demonic entity. Abomination of desolation, very well its own thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the first 12 verses. I just want to consider a few out of these. Verses 3 and 4 says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, then the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Verse 7 through 9, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." Who's this supposed to be? Specifically, don't know. But he's associated with the Antichrist. The Antichrist, the supposed big bad demonic entity. Is he Antichrist? Yes, an Antichrist. But to suppose that he is one with the same as what John is writing about, not confirmed in Scripture. Not confirmed that we have this big, bad, evil guy. Then, of course, we have Revelation. Anytime we bring Revelation into the conversation, it can be a can of worms. I want to keep it simple. In Revelation 13, that's talking about the beast. It's talking about the mark of the beast, the two beasts that are seen, the number of the beast, and all that good stuff. Now, resources, again, associate the Antichrist, big bad evil guy, as the beast in this passage. Is the beast an Antichrist? Yes, but again, association with Antichrist in John's letters is not confirmed with Scripture. reminds me, Martha, she told me about these commentaries. And so I've added them to my resources. In studying for this, in preparing for this study, I looked at every one of those commentaries to see what they said. And all of them said the same thing about these verses. The one that Martha told me about is the one that says about these verses in conjunction with 1 John, and I quote, "No such association is seen in the scripture." And congratulations, Martha. You get the gold star of the week because that's the one and only time I've ever 100% agreed with anything I've ever seen in a commentary. So back to our question. What was that question I asked you earlier? If all these guys are meant to represent this big bad evil guy, the Antichrist, why is the word Antichrist not used? Because there is no one Antichrist. There is no Antichrist in the sense that there is one big bad evil guy, demonic entity, supreme evil power. You can associate that with Satan. You can give that title to Satan. But as we see from these passages that we just talked about, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Revelation 13, the beast gets its power from the dragon. The dragon is meant to represent Satan. So, there's distinction made. Anyone can be Antichrist, though. Anyone in great positions of power can become Antichrist and can afflict those who believe in Christ. But the problem is interpretation. And too many people modernize the interpretations and make it all about the current events. Make the current events to say, it is the end times. Why? Because the wars, because of the conflicts, because of the tribulations, because of the leadership, and so forth. For the last 100 years or so, pretty much all world leaders for the past 100 years have been accused of being the Antichrist or being the beast, especially our presidents. Matter of fact, I found this out when I was doing research for this. Ronald Wilson Reagan was called the beast or the Antichrist. Why? Because each of his names has six letters. 666. Yeah, I know. Ridiculous, isn't it? At this point, we're getting into conspiracy theories and crazy interpretations of scripture. And one video I saw that I watched in preparation for this study reminded me something very important that I want to pass along to you when it comes to interpreting scripture. Now, he worded it a little differently than I'm going to say it. Context matters, brethren. And the foremost thing about context is to whom it is written and why. These letters and the revelation, they were all written to certain people in certain places about certain events that will happen certainly. Furthermore, a lot of these events they would see happen. They're told about events they will see, not 20th to 21st century conspiracies. So to interpret these passages as such is erroneous, not harmonious with the scripture. And circumstances that brought about these writings. So why do so many people associate all these as one supreme evil being, big bad evil guy? And why is it that it's going to be soon that we see such an entity? Possibly because they believe that they are in the end times. It's not coming to me. They personalize it. I'll say it that way. They personalize their interpretation, so to speak. They make it about now. They make it about them. They make it about what's going on in the world right now. They believe that right now is the end times. It is the end times. It's been the end times for a long time. Go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Let's see what John says once again. He says, "Little children, It is the last hour. Is, that's current, that's now. It is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They rephrase like last hour or the end times and such from the scriptures and think everything is going to explode in nuclear warfare and tyranny and so on. Maybe. Maybe that'll happen. It's already happened. There have been plenty of tyrannical leaders. There's been plenty of wars. Here's the thing. It's been the end times for a long time. Remember, it was 2,000 years ago that John wrote about it being the last hour to his audience. Nearly 2,000 years ago, brother. 1 John, supposedly written in the mid-90s of the first century. What makes it the last hour of the end times? That's an easy question. What is the one day that has been pointed to throughout the entire New Testament? Matthew 25, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Peter 3, Revelation 21. What do they all talk about? The day of the Lord that will come like a thief in the night, with trumpet sounds, with the elements burning away. It will come suddenly. The dead will in Christ will rise. The living in Christ will be taken up. They will be with the Lord forever. Their tears will be wiped away. And all those who have lived in evil will be cast into an eternity of fire. And Christ will be the judge, separating the righteous and the wicked forever. Everything that we've been given here points to that day. It's the end times now, because the next great thing that's about to happen is this. And so because of that, the devil is hard at work trying to make us all antichrists, to deny Christ, to turn away from him. Why? So that we can be cast in the lake of fire in the end. My question for you today, could you be the antichrist? If you encounter certain people with different agendas that are antichrist, could they sway you from the truth? Or are you firm in your foundation of faith in Jesus? Do you believe, truly and fully believe, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he has come, that he has died for your sins, and that he will one day return? I implore you to make sure you know your beliefs. Many in the world deny Christ. Many in the world want to live without Christ, want to live contrary to Christ, want to live as themselves being the God of their own lives. That's what the devil wants you to be. He wants you to deny Christ. He wants you to become antichrist, to be dragged down to hell with him. And he's going to afflict you so he can tear you down, cause confusion for you. Do not be deceived. Be confident in your belief in Christ. And remember it every day of your life and live by it, because it is the end times and Jesus is coming soon. Be ready for that day when we all get to heaven, because what a day of rejoicing that will be. Won't you want to be there that day? If you're here this morning and having heard the word today or in the past and have come to believe on it, we encourage you to act upon it, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, be washed free of your sins, and be raised to walk a new life with God for righteousness, so that when he comes, you will be with him on that day. If you're already here and already have become a Christian, but have allowed sin back into your life, you've allowed denial or misbelief or wrong thinking back into your life or whatever else, make it right with God today. Repent of those sins. Confess them to God in prayer, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleansing you from all unrighteousness. And if you feel the need to confess before your brethren, we are here for you, to meet you with love and encouragement, and to be there for you, and to pray for you. So if you're subject to the invitation, or need prayers of this congregation for any other thing, please come while we stand and we sing.